Thanks for checking out our teaching from this week. Our hope is that it will encourage you to take a next step in growing in your relationship with Jesus. Let's get to it.
Hey, I'm Nate Myers. I'm the church planting resident here at Grace River Church, which basically means I get to learn from Grace River's leadership, this church, the volunteers, staff, as I prep and get ready to plant a church. So thanks for joining us online and making this a priority, whether it's in your living room or a mobile device. Thank you so much. I'm going to be talking about why we should plant churches or why plant a church and answer this question through a text that I think most of us will be familiar with, but a little bit of info about me before we go on to answer that question. Here's a picture of my family, my four siblings. I was the youngest of five. I grew up in a Christian home in northeast Missouri, north of St. Louis area, about an hour and a half, 2 hours almost. And one fact about my family is that they were all really good at sports, especially running and then basketball. They were much better than me, but I tried to follow along. So that kind of grew in me a love for sports. Here is the logo for the church that we are going to be planting, Harvest Bible Church in Hannibal, Missouri, which is north of here, about an hour and a half of St. Charles or St. Peter's. And then you have, here's a picture of my wife. You know, some people instantly make the judgment call. One is the reacher, the other one is the settler, right? And so I clearly, you're making the right assumption. I'm the one reaching for her. I bothered her so much until she finally settled, finally said yes, and allowed me to be a part of her life. So we've been married for 9 years almost. Here's our two little ones. Levi's almost four, and Bethany is about 2.5. I'm going to tell you or share with you a story of her, use her as an example a little bit later. They're both pretty ornery, but they love to have fun. So as you can see, you know, take a normal picture, smile, and then this is the result. But this last picture is basically just to share with you a little bit of my background. I've been in student ministry since we've been married, so almost 9 years. I've been a student pastor on the East Coast, primarily North Carolina. And this is the last picture of our last load. So I think this was our third trip from North Carolina to Missouri or to the St. Louis area. So this is a picture of that endeavor, right? So here's the two questions that I want to address and do my best to answer or give you a biblical answer in answering these. So why plant a church? And some of you might be already from the get-go, I may never be involved in planting a church. And so that's my reality, and I want to, you know, explain why we do this or why people do this all across the world. The second question might be more relative or applicable to you and where you're at in your own life, which is how are you to be involved or how can you get involved with? And then, you know, cliffhanger, this isn't no surprise, but this is the Great Commission. So you may not be involved with the church plant, but going and making disciples is something every disciple, every Christian, everybody who said yes to accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior ought to do. So I'm going to start reading in Matthew 28 and verse 18, and it says this, Jesus is speaking. He said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And so just a little context here, just in case you're unchurched, you're not familiar with the story of Jesus or his disciples. If you look right here, you'll see basically Jesus is going to have a 3-year ministry before this point, before this Great Commission. And these disciples followed him everywhere. They listened to his teaching. They saw him do miracles. They knew who he said he was, or even what he would do, and the fact that I'm going to die in seeking to save that which is lost. And he tells the disciples. So one thing I want to focus on is no matter what your background is, no matter where you're coming from, no matter what you've done in the past, Here is hopefully an encouraging note. These disciples, at the point where Jesus needed their support more than ever, they're going, nine of them are just going to flee as soon as he's arrested the night before his crucifixion. Another one's going to follow close behind. His name's Peter, and he's going to later deny Christ and then flee. You have one of the disciples named Judas, who's actually the culprit, basically the person who led to his betrayal and arrest and crucifixion. And you have one out of the 12, the closest disciples of Jesus. He sticks with it and basically is there in support of Christ with some other ladies there at the foot of the cross when Jesus is being crucified. So Jesus was crucified, was buried, and he rose again 3 days later. And now that he's risen, he's appearing to these disciples and he tells them, hey, I want you to come meet me on this mountain in Galilee, which is where the majority of them are from, Jesus included. And this is where we get to the Great Commission, which is another word for saying command. This is Christ's command of his disciples. And I want to just focus, not read it again, but just focus on a couple words of go and make disciples. And you're making these disciples through evangelism, which leads to them accepting Christ, saying yes to him as Lord and Savior of their life, realizing they need a Savior from their sin, which is only found in Jesus. They're getting baptized, making that public, and then they're being taught or discipled of what God or what Christ has told us to do or how to live. And so there's the context. This is the passage that we're going to use in answering both of those questions of why plant a church and how you and I are called to be involved in this Great Commission. And so I want to take you to the next passage. This is before Jesus ascends. So this is after the Great Commission, Matthew 28. We're in Acts 1:8, and all the book of Acts is basically the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the early church who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. So remember in Matthew 28, he says to them, Jesus, he says, I am with you always. Now, then he leaves 40 days later. So how is this fulfilled? How is this the case or the reality for his disciples? It is through this passage right here that we see that he's with them because they will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. We're going to talk about that actual event here in the next slide or two. And he says, you will, when you receive this power, empowering through the Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses. And so here is the ripple effect. That's instantly what I thought of. I used to go fishing with my dad all the time. He loved fishing, whether it was pond, lake, or river. And one of the things, if the fish weren't biting, I would try to skip rocks. And so this made me think of that story, because all of us know when you throw a rock, you see the ripples in the water. But basically what the disciples do in obeying Christ's command to make disciples, we see it happen in the book of Acts. We see it being fulfilled and the Holy Spirit empowering them. And then we also see the unity that they have, that they're better in fulfilling this command together, doing it together through a local body or a church like Grace River. And we'll make that application for today, you know, 2,000 years later. And so you see the where he says it's going to start in Jerusalem and then move out into the region surrounding Jerusalem and Judea, and then to the north, Samaria, and then you have the end of the earth. And we see in the book of Acts that they're fulfilling this call to make disciples, not just disciples, but disciples of all nations. So that takes us to the book of Acts. And like I said, Luke wrote this to basically communicate to us and people who may not have followed Jesus physically or during his public ministry, but were able to see what his disciples did, what they accomplished. In Acts 2, we have the day of Pentecost, and we have this disciple named Peter who preaches to thousands, and they say yes to Christ. They receive him as their Lord and Savior. We see the Holy Spirit comes and empowers them on that day. And after that, we see the working of the Holy Spirit in their lives through their message and their actions. Acts 8, we see Philip evangelizing in Samaria. So remember that ripple effect. It's growing. This movement called the church or the proclamation, the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ is moving and touching lives all across the known world. Acts 10, we have Peter, he's even proclaiming Christ, sharing the gospel, the good news to Gentiles. And so it's not, again, not just Jews or those in Judea or those in what we would say today, the Israel region or the nation of Israel, but it's spreading to Greeks, Macedonians, Romans, and so on and so forth. And then Acts 13 is really when we hit this answer of why plant a church. Because Paul and Barnabas, they're sent out, and many others are sent out to plant these churches. And basically, we see the strategy and the methodology of Paul, which is evangelize the lost. And he goes typically to cities, groups or areas, towns, locations where there's people. And then once they accept Christ, they're baptized, and then he forms these local bodies, these churches. He disciples them. Sometimes he'll spend a year at a time discipling and teaching them, which makes sense with Matthew 28 of teaching them what I've commanded you, Jesus speaking to his disciples. Paul did that. And then we even think of the New Testament, right? Half of the New Testament is written by Paul. And who is he writing to? You basically have two categories. He's writing to people or leaders of the church. Think Titus and Timothy. And he's pastoring, he's teaching them, he's ministering, serving them, and how they can make disciples. And then he writes the church themselves, Corinthians, Romans, Church of Philippi, the Galatians. And these are groups of local bodies, these churches that he's planted and had a part in their lives. I just want to show Acts 17:6, because this really shows the success and the effectiveness of the strategy of the early church of planting these churches all throughout the region in the book of Acts. And these governing authorities, these leaders of the town that they were in or city they were in, they said this, they spoke of the Christians in this manner. These men who have turned the world upside down. I don't know if you know much of church history or even the Roman Empire, but some 300 years after the time of Christ, that pagan nation that used to persecute and butcher Christians because they didn't accept the message, they didn't want or have any need for a Messiah, a deliverer. Now, 300 years later, Constantine is going to make it the official religion. And we can speak to what was the purpose of that for Constantine, and I understand the different views on that. But the reality is that the world literally in that region under the Roman Empire was the majority were Christians at this point, which shows 300 years later what these disciples started, and you see that ripple effect. So of course we go to from then to now, and you see the ripple effect, right? I've kind of driven that probably too much, but basically, you see that they plant churches, they're successful, and these men and women were clearly empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they were successful in what? Going and making disciples. And so today, like for instance, the reason I'm here at Grace River and I'm planting a church is the huge factor there is Converge Mid-America, which is a church planting entity that helps church planters or even Grace River Church to plant other churches. And so this is a strategy not just here, even locally, regionally, not even in the United States, but globally. And we've seen it in 2,000 years of church history that this has been a method and a strategy that is very successful and needed even today, right now in 2021. And so we're answering that question of why plant a church. Church plants are effective and successful in fulfilling the Great Commission of going, making disciples. That's why I'm going to Hannibal. And then now let's answer the question of how can you be involved? And so, of course, you may not plant a church, and that's okay. You may not be part of that initial birth of a church in an area like Grace River 8 years ago or 7 years ago. But here's what I would ask you. How are you doing in regards to what Christ has commanded you? You're a disciple, you're a believer, you're a Christian. You said yes to Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. You've trusted in him for salvation from your sin. Then this applies to you. So I want to focus on this word go before we move on and say this word go, like for instance, I'm going to use a couple examples. You may go from the couch to the refrigerator to get something to eat or drink. You may go to your car to go to work or go see a friend or go to church. And there's this idea that we're always on the move. We're going, going, going. We're active. We're doing something wherever we're at. And so missionaries, a church planner like myself, may use this as an example of I need to go to this area or to this group of people. But the idea is actually more simple than that in the fact that no matter where you're at, you're always going. And as you go, you are called by Christ to make disciples. So are you doing this? I'm going to use the example. Let's just take a second, soak this in. I can't believe I was a part of this, especially Bethany, because she looks like her mom, thankfully, right? You know, but I apologize to my son all the time. Yeah, but he doesn't get it yet. But he looks like me. Bethany looks like Brianna. But Bethany is like me in the fact that she's a little more ornery than Levi. Levi does pretty well, but Bethany, she gives you this look when she does something bad. And if she can get you to laugh, she knows this might take away from, you know, a consequence of my actions, right? So here's the story. At a young age, once they started eating solid foods, we basically just made the decision they're going to eat what we eat. We've always practiced that. But again, they're kids, right? And one of the things they can control is what they put in their mouth. And so one of the things that we've done is to give them a motivator, encouragement to eat their broccoli, right? Their veggies are usually the go-to in regards to this. You get a cookie, a snack, Jell-O, whatever, yogurt, if you eat all your broccoli or all your green beans. So here's what Bethany will do. She'll take a bite of her green beans and then says, all right, snack, treat, cookie. But the result is I have to remind her that no, Bethany, you have to eat all your broccoli. So here's the application from that little illustration is the disciples applied all that God had said, not just what they liked, not just what they he said that they liked or enjoyed or was easy to do. So this go and make disciples, I just want to challenge you to make it a priority in your life that this is what Christ wants you to do and be a part of this mission. So let's speak to that a little bit. Grace River, one of the things, I've only been here a couple months now, and one of the things I've caught on is that there's some phrases that help shape the culture and they keep people, or at least the mindset perspective of why are we doing church? Why are we coming here Sunday morning? Why do we do small groups? Why are we doing directions? And here's some of these reminders. I've heard this be said, don't let the good news of Jesus stop with you. And so why is he saying that? Why is the pastor saying that? He's saying that because the reality is you've heard the gospel through someone else, or maybe not even heard them, but they've impacted you through your actions. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And actions speak louder than words, right? There's this other saying, church is not a building you go to. It's a movement you choose to be a part of. And the disciples were part of a movement in the early church. Those disciples of Jesus, they made a difference with their life because they wanted to go and make disciples. Grace River wants you to be a part of that mission too. And then finally, this is their mission statement. We're here to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. And so that's what they want you to join them in doing. And so how can you do that? Here's you know, the little sell point right here. So Sunday, November 21st, we're having Starting Point, awesome barbecue, like you'll have a great meal. And we would like to just welcome you to come and see how you can be part of the solution of impacting lives for the gospel, for the good news of Jesus Christ. And this can go, they're going to share some of their methods or strategy. For instance, you can serve on a Sunday morning. This is a little lanyard. You know, you go to church, you see some people with this. But basically, this tells people that I am on mission here. I see the vision and I want to be part of this going and making disciples. Whether it's greeting, you may say, I don't want to speak, I don't want to talk. But you can just give a smile. You can work with the IT. If you're gifted with worship, like there's various ways that you can be on board and help. Pastor Chris just gave 2 weeks worth of a series on giving. And I know you're probably like, oh, great. He brought it out again. But he didn't ask me to do this. But this is one way you can help with the mission of Grace River of helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus is just your giving. Another thing is like, again, if you don't like to talk to people, you're an introvert, they have these little invite cards that you can share, give to people. You don't even have to say a word, but maybe just 1 out of 10, you might get somebody to come through those doors and hear about the gospel of Jesus. One thing I like, and I've never been a part of a church that did something like this, is their directions, which is kind of like a discipleship pathway. For instance, somebody who just now said yes to Jesus was then just baptized. We had 10 people baptized here at Grace River here about a month ago, which is so exciting that they've made their faith in Christ public. And those people are perfect candidates to start this directions. And it's you work with somebody else who's already gone through this. So the end game is not that you work through this, get it done. But once you get it done, you then work with somebody else who needs to just know more about the Christian faith. What does a discipleship look like? What are the truths of God's word? And these are just some of the ways that you can get on mission here. And so come to Starting Point, Sunday, November 21st. You can look that up on the website, fill out some information, or just show up. And it's 6 o'clock, I think, or 6:30. I probably messed that up. I shouldn't have asked. I should have just, social media will have it as well. You can look and see those times. So let's move on. So you have Paul. Here's another example. You have Paul, 2 Timothy 2:2, and he says this to somebody who he's discipling. He says, what you have heard from me, entrust the faithful men who will teach others. And so again, I want to focus on that teach, because some of you may say, I'll never preach. I'm not going to be a pastor. I'm not going to be a small group leader. And that's okay. But one thing I like about Grace River, I've heard it multiple times, is making yourself available is really imperative to you making this next step. And the next step for you may be not to teach or get up on a Sunday morning and preach to 300 people, but the next step is, again, your actions speak louder than words. So use the abilities God's given you to obey his command of making disciples. What can you do? You can serve people. You can see and meet a need of a neighbor, somebody you work with, somebody you recognize. They don't know Jesus. And I'm called to evangelize them, to just speak some of this grace into their life through maybe just actions. Are you doubting your ability to obey this command? And what obstacles are you using as an excuse? And the truth of the matter is, I realize some of you do have great obstacles. Some of you have your own business. Some of you have health issues, and you're facing these huge giants. But this next story hopefully is just an encouragement to you. Moses had these great obstacles as well. If you don't know about Moses, this is after the Exodus from Egypt. They were in bondage and slavery for 400 years. And God is going to use Moses to allow the Israelites to exit from Egypt. And that's in Exodus 20, if you're familiar with, he's given the 10 commandments. And then Exodus 25 through 30, we see God is going to command Moses to complete a task, to be on, give him a mission. Here is a command. Moses, he's going to say in verse 13 of chapter 25, you shall make, what is he making? A tabernacle. And look at all the things that Moses already had to do. He was already the lead prophet. He's the head of state. He is the chief justice for 2 million people. So his plate was chock full of task and roles. But one thing that I would like to encourage you is, again, think of Acts 1:8. You've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to fulfill this command of Jesus, of Christ, your Lord and Savior. And God will not give you a job to do without the power to do it. So another truth is this, is if you are a believer, a Christian, a follower of Christ, you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit to make disciples. And so the challenge is simple, is if you haven't started, now's the time to start. There's somebody there who needs you. Here's the other truth I want to get to, is you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And then second is, as soon as God's done giving this laundry list, 25 through 30, of you will make this tabernacle, God then tells him, I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you. So think of this. God is providing Moses with men and women to help with the mission of building the tabernacle, which is where God's going to dwell among his people. And so the same thing is true of you and I, or you and me, in the fact that there's no I in team. So I have this little picture here, illustration. In high school, I was at a small public school, and I was asked sometimes to shoot the basketball. But in college, I realized my task or my role on the team was completely different. A lot of guys were a lot better than me, more athletic, could shoot better. And so I realized right off the bat that I'm going to have to play really hard defense if I'm going to contribute to the team. And so the point of that is you have shot blockers, you have three-point specialists, you have defensive stoppers, you have rebounders. And a basketball team is similar to this method in the fact that God will give different people. And again, think of the planting a church, local body, many believers who come together and are part of the mission will accomplish great things for Christ. Christ will use that in a mighty way. We're better together. And that's the next truth here that I want to share with you, is that we're better together. As a church, we are better together in completing this mission. So come join us. Again, starting point 21st, this November, this week, you can see how you can be part of that mission. And again, think of Grace River. This was a church plant. And if you're watching right now, you're only watching because somebody was given a call, a command, and was obedient to what it started with Chris, but Chris would tell you easily that there were others who joined the mission. And it was only through these other people who joined this task and did whatever the role was that they were called to, that we are here 7-8 years later in a building having 300 some people on a given Sunday. It's only through Christ. And again, I just want to point your attention to 10 people were baptized a month ago, and several people even before that, earlier this year. And so we are here going and making disciples, and God is providing people. And here's the call for you. Are you going to join that mission? Maybe another local body, but somebody or some group, a church that's on mission of going and making disciples, fulfilling that great commission. So here's your next steps, and I'll be done. You need to say yes. Maybe you're not even a Christian yet. You've not said yes to trusting Jesus for salvation. So this is your first step. You need to accept him as Lord and Savior in your life. He died on a cross for your sin. You need to acknowledge that you can't save yourself. You need him, the person of Jesus. The second thing is maybe you have said yes and you've been baptized, but now you need to focus on people in your life who God's placed in your life for you to minister to serve, excuse me. And then the third thing is join Grace River in helping people meet and follow Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for the ability to speak and just allowing my voice to kind of go through this 20-25 minutes as long as it did. And I pray that they would just make the next step in helping the mission, whether that's Grace River or individually. Lord, thank you for giving us or allowing us the ability to be available to go and make disciples. Help us to do that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening. We would love to see you at one of our in-person services, which meet at 8:30, 9:45, or 11. If you feel inclined to give, you can do so by visiting our website at graceriver.cc. Have a great week, and we hope to see you soon.